Welcome to the April 5th meeting of the LTD Board of Directors. Start with roll call. Susan Cox.
Here.
Pete Knox.
Here.
Kelly Sutherland.
Here.
Lawrence Green.
Here.
Michelle Weber.
Here.
And Heather Murphy.
Here.
We're all here. Any comments from the general manager or CEO?
Briefly, I want to introduce you to our new clerk of the board, Allie Brusosco. She told me how to say her name today. Allie Brusosco.
And she joins us from Lane County. Allie, if you want to say a few words, introduce yourself.
I'm new to the world of transit, but I'm from, they changed their name, Community Justice and Rehabilitation Services is the juvenile department merged with adult probation. I was a juvenile group worker in secure detention and residential treatment. Welcome. Thank you.
So we're excited to have Allie with us. The other announcement I'll mention is we have a customer satisfaction survey that's out and live right now with the American Bus Benchmark Group. There's a goal of 2,500 responses. Right now, we have about 1,400. We're able to get 900 that first week using the UMO app. Pat, did anything I missed on that?
No, but I was going to be really excited because our UMO app, which we use for fairs, was our first test with being able to message out, push out information. And we had a huge response that very first day with 939 responses in the survey. So we're not going to slow down. Candy Harris on the marketing team is leading this project. Is doing a great job, and she's got a goal of 2,500 to 2,600. So she could be the goal master of 2,400. So it's a competitive thing internally as well. But looking forward to getting those responses back, and then we'll have a presentation in the fall with the results. So thank you.
Thank you. And then finally, we have a board outing on Friday. We'll be riding the buses. I believe Michelle Weber is going to join, and Kelly. Tom and some of the planning folks will be joining as well, and we'll serve a sample, be able to talk to some of our customers and experience the service. We will be setting up future opportunities as well, not just with the board, but also with other community leaders as well. Tiffany Edwards will be taking the lead on that part of it. So with that, I'll conclude my comments.
Thank you. Any announcements or additions to the agenda? Audience participation. Do we have any this evening? We do. Online or in person? You want to manage that for us, please?
Good evening. If you can hear me.
We can. Thank you.
I'm Rob Zako, President of Better Eugene Springfield Transportation, Chair Grimaldi, members of the board. Thank you for an opportunity to speak to you. It's a little bit disconcerting to see you and you can't see me, but I'll do the best with it. I really just want to, from the bottom of my heart, thank LTD. We're having this little event at the UO Ford Alumni Center this coming Monday. We're expecting between 150 and 200 people. We're expecting a sellout event, probably standing room only. Jameson and Peter DeFazio and Lynn Peterson, I and some others got together this morning to kind of go through what remarks people want to make. I'm really excited. This is going to be a really interesting, really valuable community discussion. LTD is sponsoring this event. We very much appreciate your help in making this possible. We're looking forward to it, and we hope that all of you can attend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. Any others? Okay. We have three items this evening. First one is LTD 2.0. I love that name. Positioning LTD as a mobility manager, and Tom is here to present.
So I want to start with the, if you haven't heard, Jameson asked this question before, but he always is asking us, who does our community need us to become? And I think this is a perfect topic in which to try and answer that. But I'm going to go back and start with a more basic question of, and I'm curious kind of how you all might answer this, but who are we today? What is it that we do? What value do we create for the community? And just curious how you'd answer that question.
Well, as a new board member, I'm learning more all the time, but it's more than just the routes that we see, in our case, going from I-5 through Cottage Grove once or twice, three times a day. There's a lot more connection that's happening, and I appreciate that we are learning about door-to-door services in general areas and ride source, et cetera.
Yeah. So basically, we provide mobility. We provide access for the people who use our service to any variety of things, services, education, friends. And so it's that access that I think is the true value that we create, whether it's through our fixed route system or ride source or the Cottage Grove connector. Those are all ways in which we generate value for the community. And so it's in that context that I wanted to talk about the fact that within our district, about one third of the population is just outside of a half mile from our service. And then there's another third of the population that's about 3 miles away from our service. So we've got a population there that doesn't have direct connection to our service. And so that's what we want to look at. And when we talk about being mobility managers, how can we broaden our offerings in a way that allows people to connect to our service or to connect to things that they need to do? And so that's the process that we want to look at as we move forward. And to get there, if you could, I've been paying attention, but so keep going. So there's that. Okay, one more. So one of the things that we want to just speak to is the fact that not everyone has the same mobility needs, right? So we need to look at different ways of providing those needs. And then as we head into this, we realize that partnerships are going to be key. We're talking about, you know, LTD provides what we characterize as shared mobility, bike share, has the word share in it, scooter share, those types of things. Shared mobility is going to be something that we know a lot about, and we can help extend the range of people in our district through those means. And, you know, as we head into this, we're going to talk about piloting. We're going to look at the various plans that we have in a way that is intended to get us to a point where, you know, we're going to learn something. It may not be, oh, yeah, that was a, you know, home run. It may be, well, you know, I mean, and just to give you an example, the MGO process or the MGO service, you know, that was something that was, you know, thought to be something that would, and I don't know if you know the history of this, but this started with a conversation with the heads of the city and Lane County. They were looking for ways to get their employees into work without using up all the parking the limited parking that we had available. And so the idea of MGO is to get people from parking lots on the edge into whether it's the courthouse where a lot of county populate or employees are, or the city hall. And so that didn't work out, but we learned a lot from how we did that. And that'll be something that we take into the future. So as we move forward, keep going. We are looking at, and these are planning efforts that we have carried out many times, but we're looking at this sequence of planning to really dive into what it means to be mobility managers in a broader sense. And of course, you know, keep in mind that doesn't mean abandoning our fixed route system. And in fact, moving forward, the fixed route system is going to be at the core of what we're trying to do. And so in that context, you can see up here a number of planning efforts that we're going to do. We're in the process of, we've procured, and we've been meeting with the consultants that are heading up the community outreach and communications assessment project. We're going to be coming back to you to look at, in particular, we're going to convene a committee to help us with that. And we want your input and support in moving forward with that. That process is going to help us better refine how we communicate with the community and how we, as some of you have heard me talk about co-creation. The idea is let's start that conversation with that. That's going to inform a range of things. Some of you are around, some of you might be familiar with the comprehensive operations analysis that we conducted starting back in 2017. That's a process that we want to go through every 3 years to look at what we're doing with our fixed route service. You know, what are the things that we can do better? Where are the needs coming up in terms of how we can plan to invest in that system? We're also conducting a ride source operations analysis. That's, you know, ride source is a big part of what we do, and we have never really taken a comprehensive look at that. So that's an opportunity to look at that service. I will say, just so you know, as we've been talking to the consultants that have been doing that work, there are other parts, other districts, other transit operators in the country that are looking at ways to make use of that fleet in more than just the ADA paratransit. So there's an opportunity to look at if we can't leverage some of what we have there. And so it's exciting to think about that. in addition to those operations, we're also going to be updating the strategic business plan. We're going to be, we have a long range transit plan. It was developed back in 2010, adopted in 2014. That needs to be updated to reflect what we're going to learn over the next couple of years in terms of what it means to be mobility managers. So you'll see that coming out as well. If you're not familiar with the broader kind of planning process in the community, the state has a new set of rules that are looking at and requiring the cities and the county to update their plans, their land use plans, or transportation plans. We want to get our long range transit plan in place in a way that can inform those planning processes. And then that's going to culminate in the MPO plan being updated as well. So there's a lot of planning going on. I think it's an opportunity for us to really engage in those processes and again, start to flesh out our strategy for being mobility managers. I don't know if you want to add anything at this point before I move on.
No, keep going.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that and I don't want to maybe pause and ask if you have any questions, but the next piece I wanted to go to, we conducted a series of SWOT analyses, strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats with a small internal group first, and then we went to our executive team. And then the last one we did was the strategic planning committee, which Pete and Susan, I think, are on. so we have kind of the combined SWOT was part of your packet, and it's kind of hard to read there. I don't know if we want to have copies. I've got, yeah, okay, perfect. So what I'd like to do, I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at this, but if we can, and I'm happy to try and summarize, but there's a lot of kind of detailed stuff in here. But what I wanted to do is two things. One is get your feedback on what you're seeing, but also, are we missing anything from the process that we've done? Are there things, you know, strengths and weaknesses that you think about, opportunities and threats that might occur to you that we should be aware of? Because the intent of this piece is really to have this inform how we go about doing the comprehensive operations analysis, how we scope the long-range transit plan in a way that we can address these, leverage the strengths and opportunities, set up plans and strategies to address the weaknesses and threats. So, yes.
When is this done, the SWOT analysis?
SPC's last meeting last month, and then earlier in the month, so it's fairly fresh. So again, I'd be happy to try and summarize, but there's a lot of detail here, but if you've got any.
Oh. Yeah, Kelly has her hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you. I had a suggestion for opportunities, and that is the climate-friendly economic communities, the new rule making, and it's aimed or intentionally designed to not cause new construction or areas to have parking. And so it might be an opportunity to try to schedule routes or mobility services to those areas.
Yeah, thank you. And that's the rulemaking I was talking about. So I'm glad you're familiar with that. And yeah, that's the type of thing I think we want to definitely try and leverage. Other thoughts or... All good. Yeah, and again, these are the kind of the blending in particular of SPC and kind of internal staff was interesting. There's a lot of things that we saw the same, but we also, there's a few things that came out of the SPC conversation that we internally hadn't thought about. So that's a good thing. Don't have to belabor this if you guys
do you want questions in general?
Yeah, let's do that.
Do people have questions? Go ahead, Heather.
Not a question. We talk a little about community in here. I just think teasing out and perhaps using the terminology around rural might be helpful because rural does identify and wants to see itself in this, I believe.
Yeah, so. Good. No, that's helpful.
Pete, did you have a question?
I went through this process. I think you were there with the strategic planning committee meeting and looking at what you've done with the combined stuff. It looks like there's a lot of overlap between what we did and what was done with staff. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. But again, there were some things that we hadn't included in our internal that I think in some respects, while I might have put an SPC comment under community value, it just helped flesh out what we mean by community value, for example.
Tom, when we talked before the meeting, you mentioned pilot projects.
Right.
When do you see pilot projects in this timeline that you've presented?
We intend to, in fact, part of our STIF plan, STIF funding plan included resources for pilots. I think we want to do some thoughtful analysis and come up with things that can really test some elements of micro mobility or mobility on demand that can show us things that we need to know, as opposed to just saying, oh, that would be cool or that would be cool. So we're going to give it some thought in terms of how we apply those resources to pilots. But our intent is to use the piloting process as a way to, you know, if you will, learn and go forward in terms of, again, that's where we might say, you know, that doesn't make sense for us, but this does, or if we do it this way, it's going to make better sense.
What's the earliest you see a pilot project rolling out?
Well, as soon as, I would say within the next 12 months, we'll probably have some concepts. Again, the STIF funding is available for us starting in July. So
I ask because I think the sooner the better without being, taking too much risk. But
right.
I think there's some exciting opportunities here. And I don't want to wait a long time to start trying things.
Well, and I to that, Gino, I think what we've been talking about is potentially, I mean, we've been operating the Cottage Grove service for a couple of years. Let's take a comprehensive look at what works and what isn't working there. We can learn a lot from that. The MGO process, there's a lot we can learn from, you know, that as well. And I think just taking the time to, in essence, write those things up, we'll have nothing, something that we can share with you, but something we can also learn as we go forward.
You provided a link to what looked like the federal government funding pilot projects in different agencies.
Right.
Any of those interest you the most or think we ought to look at first? And there was a variety of things, you know, all over the United States.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you can imagine, there's a lot of factors that might figure into this. We're a smaller region than most of the examples out there. There's we're in Oregon, which has a different land and really has condensed urban growth in a way that doesn't exist, say, in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that might work there might not work the same here, but there are things that we want to explore for sure. I don't know.
I think Heather makes a great point that Susan and I heard when we were in DC about rural. I think there's an opportunity to test out different strategies in rural communities. I also think that there is an opportunity to focus in on what our community's top three or five challenges are and tie those to transportation. So if you think about housing stock, or if you think about houselessness or access to jobs, I think tying those outcomes of what we do to that sends a powerful message. And then finally, you know, there are emerging technologies associated with some of these transportation options. We have a very strong community college here. We have U of O here. We have Oregon State up the street. And I think that there's an environment here where we can create a pipeline for workforce development around that specific sector, whether into LTD or elsewhere, and develop another brand identity for our region. So we've had some of those conversations as well throughout. As we go through this process, we'll continue to have some of those and see how can we really maximize the benefit out of what we're learning and what we implement in these different options.
Other questions or comments? Any final words, Tom?
Well, I might add that I think in the context of three to five challenges, from my standpoint, when I think about even if we just for a minute focus on the urban area, we're at a point now where we're starting to grow at the edges of this region. The edges where we don't have service. And a really good example, if you want to kind of see an illustration of this, you know, go up Delta Road, where River Ridge Golf Course used to be. There's all those high density residential three-story apartments. They don't have a way to. There's no transit service that can get them down. We run a frequent transit network right there at the not Crescent, what is it, Green Acres. How do we get people down there to that frequent service? You know, so there's things that I think about in that context. And in terms of rural, you know, we're interested in, I mean, at some level, Cottage Grove MOD has been successful. People are using it. How might that fit in areas that also, similar to Cottage Grove, have what I would characterize as a more mature downtown area? Junction City is probably the other example that I can think of there. And then, you know, how might these elements fit in ways where, you know, some of the unincorporated areas, how do we get folks from those areas into services that they need, education, connecting to our services? It starts to make sense that, you know, right now, for example, the service we run out to Lowell, not a lot of service, basic service. But if we're connecting, you know, another couple thousand people in that area that are spread out into Lowell, does that make sense for us to think about how we might do our coverage service out there, might up the number of trips there to better serve that region? So there's a lot of opportunities, I think, as we move forward on that.
If I could add one other part of the exercise that we're doing is having a legal review on our enabling legislation as to what can LTD actually do? How are we defined? How can we play in the space of transit-oriented development? Can we help to densify as long as those things are adding to the value of the transit system itself? And what's the definition of mass transit district at this point as well, because we do more than transit. So We're not going to get over our skis on what the possibilities are, but we're going to get that answer as well. And within the range of what we can do, we'll come back and imagine that with the board and get your insights.
So I'll just put the question out there. If you have a sense of what might help you in future opportunities to come before you on this, let us know. We'll use that, and we're going to use what we have in the SWOT to help scope these various planning efforts to make sure we're addressing the concerns we have. If you have concerns or ideas, you know, keep them coming.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Next is a marketing recruitment update. I have Pat and Perry making the presentation.
Pat Perry plus two.
Perry, yeah. You say we're going to start us off. So.
And I got the lowest seat, of course. The shortest person with the lowest seat.
Okay. Set there. Well, let me see if it. And if it doesn't work, just click it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go one better. We'll allow them to introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Ashley Zert. I am the HR specialist.
HR recruiting specialist, and I'm Perry Adams, the director of human resource equity and risk management.
Haley Pratt, digital marketing specialist. You heard from me a couple months ago.
I'm Ramin Pat Walsh, chief marketing officer.
All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about what the teams are doing here in regards to recruiting and social media and how they work together. And it's timely and great that we can come behind Tom, who is just a ton of knowledge and information, but to say LTD 2.0, that means that we're evolving and we're changing. Well, with recruiting and marketing partnering together, we're evolving and changing. So we want to share a little bit about the impact that social media has on recruiting, some of the challenges that we faced, and some of the accomplishments. So if we go, and I'm going to try, thank you. Agenda. So the marketing recruiting efforts prior to January 30th, 2023, and then the marketing plan launch after February of 23, and then some of the results. A lot of what went on there before, on the next slide, we'll talk about pre-January 30th, 2023. We used a lot of the traditional job boards and processes that typical companies our size would use. We used the applicant pool, which is our applicant tracking system. And with that, we did and a combination of job boards. And we had success, but not good enough to, you know, meet the demands of LTD 2.0 that's coming and how we're going to look as a mobility provider moving forward. So we want to look at that part, and we're going to go to the next slide. So in May of 22, we had a class of, I think they started with six new hires. I don't know how many finished, but we had six to start. And then the next class, and this is for bus operators. In July 22, we had a class of two that started. And then in August of 22, we had three. Those type of results are not going to get us where we need to go. So what we want to do is come up with a way to meet the challenges of the workforce now. When you look at the employer brand, you know, how are we looking out in the community? What are we doing to get the message out there and to tell our story? And then also improving the time to hire. We have a lot of situations where we just need to get them in the door quicker. So we can look at that more.
Sure.
And then I'll take it and pass it over to Pat at this point.
So what we did is we got together and we collaborated with HR and then eventually with the rest of the district to say, okay, what can we do differently to yield some stronger results? And so we've used this word storytelling a lot over the past few months, but we really honed in on telling our bus operators' stories in terms of who they are, why they drive for the district, what excites them about their job, and also who they are when they're not at work. So we worked on those stories. We wanted to have a bus, just to give you an example, I have a bus operator who believes that front window is the best office window in town. We had more than one bus operator tell us that. We wanted to highlight a veteran because we really want to, you know, make veterans know that this employment opportunity is here for them. Career change people. I mean, there's people that are looking to make career changes for a variety of reasons, and we found bus operators that could talk about why they changed careers to come here. LTD is we're finding out there are more family members here that, you know, that legacy employees than you can shake a stick at. And so we wanted to tell that. I mean, this place is such a great place to work. I want my son or my son-in-law or my daughter-in-law to come to work here with me. There's opportunity. Brian Penns is, I think, a video maybe you've seen, but you know, he talks about the upward mobility of being able to start out as a bus operator and then work his way up into becoming a supervisor. So there's great opportunity here. And then also we are highlighting, we just shot this video the other day of a younger staff member, somebody who's in their early to mid 20s, as to why this is a career choice and a good place to be. So we looked at the tools that Perry's team were using, and we thought, well, let's just keep those. Let's keep using those job boards. Most of them don't cost anything except for the time to post. So we're going to keep doing that. And then we're going to shoot some videos, and we're going to tell some stories of our employees. And then we're going to go ahead and we're going to post those on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and some other places, including broadcast television. We have some TV commercials and live stream televisions. So we worked with the Terrell Group on that, who's been also a great partner. And then, like I said, we have this great partnership going with with the whole district in terms of the people wanting to tell us their stories. So we really wanted to, again, go back and highlight what a great place this is to work. So this is where we ended up, where we are today. There are career stories that we've told to date, and we can show you one of them. Well, I don't want to show you all three of them. It'll take all a long evening. But, you know, Leza, who was here in January, who was our employee of the month, she and her dad were one of our featured stories. And I think if you click on that link, we should be able to watch this video. Or maybe not. There we go. Okay. Well, I will email you a live link so you can look at them on you know, when you have time. And then Brian's story, which I told you about, is Brian Penn's story of upward mobility here. And then Arturo.
The thing that's different about a Vrbo vacation home?
I can play Brian's places.
Okay, why don't we play Brian's? And thank you. That was not part of our shoot.
You always have the whole place to yourself.
Working at LTD is more than a job, it's a career. Brian Penn joined us 16 years ago as a bus operator.
And now I'm the transit operations manager. LTD provided me with a job that I love in a community where I can raise my family and watch my grandchildren grow up.
Come aboard and grow your career for you and your family. Apply today at rideltd.org.
But hopefully, if you watch TV, you've seen a few of those on television and or on social media. But those are the types of stories that we're trying to tell. I see if I chose.
Arturo's isn't moving. Can't set this up.
I'm Brian Penn. I started 16 years ago at Lane Transit.
Arturo's spot is a little bit different. Native Spanish speaker. So we had him do the whole spot in Spanish. We ran English subtitles underneath it. There he is.
Mi nombre es Arturo y he sido chofer del autobús de LTD por 18 años. Empecé a usar el autobús cuando vine de México hace 38 años. Tenía dos trabajos en ese entonces y era una forma agradable y confiable de moverme. Tenía un par de amigos que manejaban autobuses para el LTD y me animaron a solicitar empleo para ser conductor. Al principio dudé porque no tenía experiencia. No pensé que estaba calificado para conducir un autobús, pero apliqué de todos modos y conseguí el trabajo. Fue como ganar la lotería. En LTD me enseñaron todo lo que necesitaba saber y obtuve mi licencia comercial para manejar. Tienen un gran programa de entrenamiento con buenos instructores. Estuvieron ahí conmigo todo el camino hasta que estuve seguro de que podía hacerlo por mi cuenta. Así que le digo a la gente que si le interesa conducir un autobús, simplemente solicite. Realmente disfruto trabajar con mis compañeros y LTD ofrece excelentes salarios y beneficios increíbles. Pagan 100% del costo del seguro médico y dental para sus empleados. Ese fue un factor muy importante para mí al decidir trabajar aquí. Me gusta conocer a mis pasajeros y escucharlos decir que disfrutan de la manera que yo manejo. Es importante para mí proporcionar una manera segura para que las personas lleguen a donde tienen que ir. Es una gran responsabilidad tener en tus manos el bienestar de las personas. Cuando me mudé aquí la primera vez, hace tantos años, no pensé que podría tener este trabajo y lo he convertido en una carrera. Animo a las personas a considerar LTD como un servicio confiable para llegar a donde tengan que ir y pensar en ello como una opción para un trabajo seguro.
He's terrific. And we do three versions of each story. We know for television, two short ones for television and social media, then a longer piece that also is on social media that is on our website. You saw Arturo's, obviously a longer one, but he told a terrific story. They all have. So with that, I guess what I want to do is I want to turn it over to Haley, who's our social media expert. She can kind of talk about the results that we've had so far.
Thank you. It's the authenticity for me. That's what gets me on all of the ads, but Arturo's in particular, it's really nice to watch. So I'll be talking about the results of the organic campaign first. So organic, just as a term, is without paid promotion. So those are the things that you post to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn that you don't put any money behind. Just to clarify up front. So we're using Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter for our organic campaign on our side of this. Overall organic reach from January 20th to March 23rd, 14,668 people. Pretty good number there. No paid promotion again for this part. Earned 443 likes, comments, and shares. So those engagements really help extend the reach, because when people share content, it's going to show up in more people's feeds. 247 clicks through to the LTD.org website. That's impressive to me because that's movement. That's more than just passively maybe liking something. That's going through to the website, taking time off of scrolling through Facebook and clicking through to look at jobs. So that's the number that impresses me most there. I'll briefly talk about conversion rate too. It's about 3% of people who saw one of these posts that engaged with it. 3% is pretty good rate there. And then about half the number of those people, about 1.68%, click through to the website. Any questions on that? Okay. So next up is the results of the paid campaign. On Facebook ads, we've reached 28,878 people. So about double what organic does. That's good news for us. 813 clicks through to the campaign landing page. So that is a landing page created at rideltd.org. And that's where Terrell Group's paid ads go to. And that's where you can find all of those stories that we watched previously. Generated 182 form submissions from people interested in applying for a job. That's the key right there. That's 100 82 leads for HR to follow up on. And I think that's really impressive. We also have some connected TV results. So those are streaming TVs. If you have a Roku or a Samsung TV, and you don't pay for cable, you have the streaming services. That's where these ads would show up. That reached 14,514 people and earned 66,369 impressions. So you kind of get the sense with that people to impressions ratio, people saw it more than one time, makes it feel like the ads are everywhere and that LTD is just this constant presence around you, which is great for our awareness. Overall, excuse me, Facebook ads had a click-through rate of 2.82%. Again, that's movement off of Facebook when you're just maybe casually scrolling and going to look at jobs. That's really impressive to me as well. Yeah, that's what I got.
Pretty good. Any questions for Haley?
What was the time frame for this?
The time frame, we started the campaign in February, and then this took us to March 23rd. So we wanted to give you the most accurate period of time. We tried to move I thought when we initially put this together that we could maybe move the needle 5 or 6%, and we did better than that. I think I shot too low, obviously, but it seems it's working. I think that there's some benefits to this beyond the jobs. I think we're telling our story to the community as well. And I think that builds that community value. And what we're seeing internally is where people want to be in these spots. Mm-hmm. So they're coming and talking to us, and which means that they're engaged. And that says a lot about the organization, for me anyway, the organization in general, but it's impressive to me because I probably have 5 or 6 more stories we could do if we had budget and time. We're going to find a way to get to those. We're going to use them somewhere, but it's been fun. Not that it needs to be, but it's been a really good time to do this. Perry, do you want to talk about some results you saw in terms of classes?
Yeah. Some of the exciting part of what we do is when you're looking at the results of all the effort that marketing and to the Terrell group mm-hmm. have done. And I'm going to let Ashley share a little bit.
Yay. So our most recent class in January started out with 9 operators, and the class graduated with 8, which that has been one of our biggest classes since I started supporting this and taking over recruitment. So that felt like a huge success. Our April class set to start April 17th. I'm currently onboarding 9 potential bus operators. I feel really confident about all of them. And kind of to tag on to Pat's comment about the stories and the internal conversation, I think that it is having a huge impact on the employees internally connecting with one another, kind of reinstilling that sense of pride in what they do and why they're here at LTD. There were a handful of interviews this past cycle where they were referred from bus operators. And so we don't track that specifically. It's something that we track internally through the screening process. And it just was lovely to hear. And, you know, they referred stories from their friends who are bus operators, or they, you know, interact with our bus operators while they ride routes. And so I think those stories are just connecting us on a different level. And the external conversation is starting to pay off and bring people to the district that want to work here and connect our community.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
This is really impressive. Thank you. I think I asked you this before last time, but is there, when in terms of reach and getting out to a broader group of people, have you thought at all, or have you considered going to influencers, you know, someone who has tens of thousands of followers, and if they click on it, then it just automatically gets it out there further?
We have looked at influencers. I don't know. I don't have a long list of them here in town, but they certainly are a next step for us to be able to use or to engage rather in terms of getting our message out, because they're important. And it's not that I'm really glad you asked that question. I just want you to you know, it's not that we have ignored it, we just haven't engaged sure. it yet. Yeah.
I mean, I'm even thinking like some of the sports athletes
yeah.
that people follow. You know,
we've
maybe...
looked at some things very preliminarily as in terms of name, image, and likeness
right.
with some of those athletes in terms of how we can engage with them. But you're right, that's a place to go.
And then my other question was on recruitment. Have you considered any like financial incentives for drivers that if they, I don't know, if they sign someone up, they get a certain amount of bonus of some kind. And then if they actually go through and get hired and do the training in 6 months, that there's another compensation for them?
So another word for that is a hiring bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't looked at it in the past, and there are some legal maneuvering we would have to think about mm-hmm. in order to present something like that. And of course, Tiffany can speak to that if she needed sure. to.
I apologize. You'll in a few minutes, you'll all update.
Perfect.
Oh, good.
So that is something that we have to consider mm-hmm. the legal and financial ramifications to doing programs like that.
Thank you for this. This is impressive. Have you considered doing any work? There's a lot of buzz and talk in the education field about career and technical education. Mm-hmm. And there are lots and lots of discussions around pathways with the high schools, community colleges, alternative schools, et cetera. And I think your marketing, if you start to market down to students when they're thinking about career pathways and really embed in some of that career technical work, it's really taking off. I think every day this week I've had a CTE conversation. So wow. It's an idea.
That's great. That's great advice and something we will look into. One of the things you should know is that there's some of us that have been involved at Connected Lane and been involved in a number of things there. And we have brought students out through that program to tour our facilities, to see our electric buses in particular, because you're right, there's such a big shift. I mean, that's a rolling computer. I mean, it's not the same as a renewable diesel fuel bus, you know, so we need to continue to get deeper into that. But thanks for that, no doubt.
That is a movement that is growing also. I was in DC in December, and a lot of conversation was around, even going all the way down to elementary.
Exactly.
So it's a place that we will have to kind of look at.
Yep.
To address, yeah.
Any other questions? Yes.
What would your ideal, I guess, recruitment class size be? Or is that just job dependent?
Well, it's job dependent, but I'm going to let Ashley speak.
So for our bus operator classes, we have a max of 10 right now. Could that grow in the future? Possibly, but with our resources and instructors, we keep it at 10.
I'm thrilled with the Spanish speaking commercial. Moved and thrilled, and that's a growing and emerging population in our area for sure. I do a lot of work with that population every day. The more we can make those pathways open, the job, the force there is considerable. As long as they're, and sometimes you have to contend with work visas and things. I mean, you often do. Like, it looks a little different in terms of employment there, but what a ready and willing, and I think that commercial is really powerful as long as it's getting to the places where Spanish and or Mayan speaking families can see it.
Sure.
So
we are, the radio version of that commercial is on Spanish language radio. And then I've talked with the Terrell group about making some buys locally on Telemundo and the other station, I can't remember what it is, but the two of them that are on cable anyway, so yeah. That's,
and I think when it comes to the diversity of our classes, there's a lot that we can do there as far as improving that look and feel. And then just in diversity period, the fact that the new hires come in and they feel like they belong. Well, if they have
associates that they can relate to and that they can connect to, that's going to improve those relationships. So we have some work to do, but we are eager to get right into it and have marketing make some amazing ads for us. And look at all the diverse areas, not just one or two.
Anything else? Great work, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rocket.
Our last item is a legislative United Front update from Tiffany. And Tiffany, you can go until 7:30 if you want.
They're ready for their naps. All right. Okay, I have the clicker. I'm going to wait to test this until I'm ready to flip it. Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see you all. Tiffany Edwards, Director of Government Community Relations. I almost forgot. And I'm here tonight to talk to you all about the legislature and give a little United Front update. Something, are you okay? Okay. So with that, you'll recognize this first slide here. Uh-oh, why is it not working? Oh, there we go. All right, the work that LTD does to engage around advocacy and policy ensures that we have fiscal solvency and the regulatory framework that helps us to carry out our mission, vision, and values. And lending a voice to policies that support our workforce needs and ensure the community is being served with transit is in the best way possible is very important, obviously. And I and others like myself do this by telling LTD's stories to individuals and the people who influence individuals that create our regulatory environment. So our elected officials and whatnot. The regulatory environment for which we operate under. So, and you all have a role in that as well, just to be very clear. All right, so tonight, we went one ahead. You want to do it? Okay, it doesn't matter. It's probably easier. I'll just kind of like, all right, so I'm going to go through the legislative update first. We'll start with that. So legislature is in session, I think. Everybody should know that. And then I'm going to give a little bit of a United Front recap. I know Susan had the opportunity to share some of what we did when we were there for United Front. And Pete and Cosette and I were also there just a week later for APTA. So I'll share a little bit about those conversations. And then I would love questions and you can ask them anytime. I would definitely be open to a dialogue and please feel free to just kind of chime in and stop me. And I know I can't see Kelly, but if she decides that she has a question, just let me know. All right, next slide. So this is the legislative calendar. This is where we're at. April 4th yesterday was a big deadline. It's basically the midway through session. And bills, and I'll forgive me if this is a little bit elementary information, but you know, bills are the origin of the bill, whether it's a House or a Senate bill, is based on who's introducing the bill, right? So in the Senate, if senators will introduce the Senate bills, both have to go to each chamber. So we just had the deadline for the first chamber. So the chamber of origin, the bills needed to have a work session, which is a vote in the committee in order to keep moving forward. So anything that did not get that work session and move out of committee is essentially dead at this point. With some exceptions. There are some committees that aren't subject to those deadlines. Ways and Means, that's the budget committee. So the bills that actually are gonna cost money, those have to be worked into the budget. That all goes until the last day of session. Rules committee also stays open, and the Joint Transportation Committee. So most of the stuff related to transit is going to be sitting, we'll be sitting with a lot of unknown, you know, a lot of uncertainty as to whether or not some of those bills are moving, but we're still gonna track them. Next slide. All right, so I wanted to share this with you all because I wanted to kind of put some context around what I tend to look for when I am going through the 4,000 bills that are introduced during the course of a session. I'm kind of looking, first of all, I cross-tabulate everything with various different organizations that we engage with. So the Oregon Transit Association, for which we're a member, LCOG, United Front Partners, so the cities and county, special districts, we are a special district, and then business community, like the chambers of commerce and whatnot. Those groups are tracking legislation that are, you know, very unique to their sectors, but there's a lot of intersection there. So I, you know, kind of pull everything together. And my main, what I'm mainly watching are for bills that directly impact LTD or transit very specifically. And we have our own set of our own ordinances that that govern us. And then things like provisions to alternative fuels, board governance related, there's a number of those this session. I also look at things that impact LTD as an employer and our workforce issues, general business and labor, and any, you know, we're an employer just like any other business, bills that impact our funding sources, and then bills that impact the community, transportation, public safety, houselessness, a lot of those things that we're kind of grappling with that are impacting our system and our service. Those are all things that I'm looking at. And I whittle it down and kind of prioritize a number of different things. So the first set, I'm just going to go through very high level of these bills just to kind of explain what they do. There's certainly more that I'm tracking, but these were some that I wanted to bring to you. Part of the reason is I want to certainly extend the opportunity for any of you who are interested in engaging in this process. Occasionally we testify, occasionally we do something in writing, but there certainly are opportunities. And so if any of you are interested, some of these bills that are still moving, I'm certainly open to ideas around how you might want to engage in those. So, House Bill 2007, I'll start with that one. That was a bill, it was a very controversial set of gun regulatory bills that all died yesterday. They aren't moving forward, but you know, this one in particular was one that would allow us to governing bodies such as special districts to regulate possession of firearms in any of our facilities, our building, our system, our stations, all of that. So that was something I was watching closely. House Bill 2095 was one that we are supportive of. The Oregon Transit Association has been engaged in this. And this was a bill that would allow us to use photo radar or allow cities and counties to use photo radar. Eugene is already doing it, but it's a positive policy. It's good for transit because it puts more eyes essentially on the roadway. That bill is, it passed today out of the House, 35-20. So not a close, didn't pass by a landslide, but it was not partisan. So it's still moving. House Bill 2101, this.
Are United Front Partners, where are they?
Use a photo. Well, so I know that Eugene currently using it. I don't know that. I'm not actually sure. There wasn't a lot of opposition to the bill, but I don't know specifically where Springfield is at. So it is something that the cities, you know, obviously it's at their own expense, but I don't think Springfield is already using it. I know Eugene is one. Yeah, you would know. but I can find out if you're interested. I just know that there wasn't opposition. Widespread opposition. There's an interesting bill, House Bill 2101. So ODOT has a program that they can exchange funds for federal funds for surface transportation projects without the, I'm kind of reading this, without the constraints of the federal requirements. So federal requirements carry a lot of, you know, a lot of red tape. So they can exchange those funds for state funds. And it's at the 94 cents to every dollar. This bill would allow cities and counties also to do that. So they would have access to those funds. This is obviously something that, you know, we would be supportive of that. That would probably move some of our projects along. House Bill 2170 passed the House committee. It's in Ways and Means. And a couple of these bills here in the next slide. Sorry, I hope you're on the same one. They do have to do with the hydrogen, so renewable hydrogen and establishing that industry and really kind of trying to foster that here in Oregon. There were two bills that we were supportive and lent some written testimony on. The first one is passed the House, it's passed the House committee, sitting in Ways and Means. And then House Bill 2530 has already passed the House and it's moved on to the Senate committee for consideration. This next bill, and this deals a little bit with what Kelly mentioned earlier. So CFEC, the Climate Friendly Equitable Communities legislation, it was a governor's executive order, Governor Brown, on climate. And the Department of Land, DLCD, I'm forgetting what the acronym is there here. Their rules were certainly have an impact to transit, which would be positive. There's waiving of parking. And I mean, essentially it's designed to incentivize increased transit use. However, City of Springfield kind of initiated some challenges that they've been experiencing. And so we have two local legislators, Senator Przonski and Representative Lively, who've introduced legislation to try and mitigate some of those issues that they're having, because the timelines are really tight and cities don't have the resources. They don't have the time or the money to do a lot of the work that was kind of handed to them. So I'm sure you are familiar. So this is one of those bills that we're watching closely. We're not weighing in at all, but it is something that definitely stands to impact transit as a whole, as well as, you know, our projects and just kind of how we plan for our communities. That bill has moved on to rules. They kept it alive. So that happened just yesterday. So that's continuing to move along. I'll just share a few more here. House Bill 2666 was one that was brought forward by the City of Wilsonville. And this was a bill that would exclude them from TriMet's district boundary. Oregon Transit Association had a big problem with that, because if we start to allow cities to opt out of our taxing districts, just because they decide that, you know, they want to do something different, it really has impacts to the service, has impacts to the communities that they serve. And so that bill is sitting in joint transportation. It hasn't had a hearing, but obviously we're watching that closely and we're prepared to speak for that, you know, in opposition to that bill if need be. And then there's a bunch of bills related to rail. And House Bill 2691 was brought forward by Representative Nathanson of Eugene. And this basically says that if any ultra high speed ground transportation that's considered needs to extend to Eugene, that's a good thing for transit. People come here by train. They need other ways to get around. And so transit is supportive of that. And then there's another bill that I'm not sure what its fate is, but it would authorize the city or county to impose a surcharge on parking violations that would help to fund transit projects. So oftentimes things like bike share, things that kind of have their unique out of the box pilot projects, things like that, this would be a funding source for that. So we're watching that one very carefully as well. There's a couple bills I want to bring to your attention that relate to governing bodies, such as the LTD Board of Directors. One bill that is continuing to move at this point, it would refine the definition of serial written communication that would constitute a quorum if there is an intermediary utilized. So an intermediary that's basically communicating among a governing body. There hasn't been any much opposition. There's been some neutral testimony from cities and other municipalities, but other than that, hasn't had any opposition. It's continuing to move. And then House Bill 2806 is a bill that would expand what topics that a governing body can meet in executive session on. And it mostly related to security and cybersecurity threats. House Bill 3113 actually has a hearing next, or 4-6, that's Thursday, in the Joint Transportation Committee. That's being called the Great Streets Bill, and it would provide funding for projects that are state highways that are operating as as community highways, so or as community main streets. So Main Street in Springfield is one of those. Highway 99 through Cottage Grove, Highway 58 through Oak Ridge, and 101 through Florence. Those are all within our, where we serve, and those there would essentially be money appropriated to use for some of those improvements that would impact us in those areas. So watching that one as well. This is my last on House Bill, and then I just have one slide on Senate Bill, so I'm just making sure here. Okay, yes. We're getting to the priority one bills. So House Bill 3170 was a priority one bill. It was brought by TriMet and largely supported by the Transit Association. It was intended to provide DMV records to transit public safety officers within transit. We realized that that's actually the current law. And then it sounded like TriMet was actually looking for photo records that they could utilize so that they could show that, you know, this person is who they say they are. That became a bit controversial. So they pulled that bill electively. So that bill is dead. House Bill 3171 had a public hearing in March. There is no known opposition. And this is a bill that protects communications in a peer support counseling session specific to mass transit employees from any being used in any type of legal proceedings. And so it's common already, and it's in statute, it's in the law that law enforcement and emergency service providers have that provision, but we don't have that extended to mass transit employees. And so if you can imagine, you know, we have things that are happening out in the community and they can be traumatic for folks, and like the incident we had in November. This would allow for individuals to speak freely and not have to worry about any kind of breach of confidentiality that might, you know, could be used in a civil suit or anything like that. This is something that maintains confidentiality. So we're supporting this. And then lastly, the pay equity bill that Perry was mentioning earlier. There's a bill, House Bill 3205, which it merely modifies the definition to exclude hiring and retention bonuses for the purposes of pay equity. So we would be allowed to extend those types of bonuses. That is continuing to move. It just moved out of committee earlier this week. So it should be heading to the House in the next few days. There's some things, there's a lot of antics going on in the legislature right now, both the Senate and the House are, there's some tactics that are being used by the minority party that generally is a way for them to kind of gain some leverage. So they're requiring bills be read in their entirety. Sometimes they take hours to read a bill. I mean, if you've seen some of those bills, they're very thick. So hopefully we'll start to see some movement, and they'll start to negotiate on a few things, and we'll start to move things through. My last slide on the bills is our Senate bills. These are three priority status Senate bills. I'm going to talk about 187 and 845 together. Those were both bills that ATU brought forward to the legislature, and they were introduced. 187 would repeal the provision that transit workers are prohibited from striking. So that is the transit and police, fire, a lot of critical service workers in the communities are prohibited from striking. In lieu of that, we have what's called binding arbitration. So when negotiations, they cannot reach a deal with negotiations between labor and management, they can get themselves into a situation known as binding arbitration. So this other bill was attempting to reform that a bit and add some provisions. Both of those bills are no longer moving through the process. And I Well, I'm pleased to report that in the interim, we've been kind of instructed to pull together a work group to between management and stakeholders in the union, just to kind of talk through some of those issues and try to find out if we can improve in the system that, that, you know, our collective bargaining process. Obviously we just went through that and TriMet has also recently gone through their process. So there's, you know, a couple of years in between the next time that would happen, but we have plenty of time for a conversation to see how we can improve it. And then I lastly will just touch on 787. And that is a bill that we are supporting. Our union also brought forward this bill that would expand the crime of assault in the third degree to include assault of a public transit operator when they're in the course of official duty. Currently, it's the law when they're driving or behind the wheel, but if they step out from behind the wheel, they no longer carry those same protections. So we've been very vocal in our support for that bill, and that passed the Senate nearly unanimously. There were only two no votes, and they were kind of technical. And it's currently in the House Judiciary Committee awaiting a hearing. So, but we feel good about that bill. So that summarizes that. And I definitely wanted to kind of put some of those bills on your radar. Anything that's still alive, there's lots of opportunities to engage with committee members. Even just like example on that last bill, the 787, the bill that the operator's assault bill, that chair is has had kind of declared early on in the session that he wasn't looking to move any of those bills. There was a number of them. So, you know, that's an opportunity. We're all trying to kind of encourage that chair to maybe consider a hearing on the bill. So I'm putting it out there and you all can decide if there's some interest there. I will move on to the United Front brief update here. Sure, please.
Question on that.
Yeah.
State legislative agenda.
Absolutely.
Putting on my LTD 2.0 hat. I remember there was testimony on a bill regarding tax breaks for e-bikes.
Oh, yes. This is the bill that Andrew is very interested in. yes, the bill is still moving, but they have they've adopted an amendment that kind of whittles it down. I think it's down to a $400 rebate from, I think it was $1,500 or something significantly larger. So it's still moving, but they've kind of watered it down a bit. So that's where it's at right now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry.
Okay. So the United Front for 2023, I won't go too detailed into all of the meetings and everything, but basically LTD engaged with all of our United Front partners, and we had a series of meetings. We had a wonderful time with our partners, and Jameson, both Jameson and Susan joined us, and it was their first time and only my second in person. So I was the senior LTD person in year number two, and it was great. It's always good to engage with our partners and just kind of get to know their priorities and what they're working on and how we can work together. We met with Senators Wyden and Merkley and Congresswoman Hoyle, and then we met with the governor's office. They have an office in DC, a federal affairs office, and then the U.S. Department of Transportation. And we all, as a group, met with all of those folks. And, you know, I think, Gino, I believe you've been on the trip several times, but, you know, you kind of go around and you talk about your high level priorities. Susan did an amazing job. She was excellent, I will just say. And then we had a couple of LTD specific meetings. So we met with the Federal Transit Administration. So that was very specific to us. That was a great, you know, we spent an hour really digging into some very specific things. And I will pleased to report that some of the outcome of that conversation is actually already moving the needle on some things with the Bus Coalition, which was our other kind of one-on-one meeting that we had with that organization, for which we've been, we were a founding member of that organization and we have a board seat. So, and they do a lot of work specifically around bus and bus facilities funding. So unlike APTA, who is kind of rail and transit are all kind of part of the same association, the Bus Coalition is really specific to advocacy around maintaining our funding sources for buses and vehicles and facilities that, that support transit. We also, when we swapped out Jameson and Susan for Pete and Cosette, I stayed, and then they joined me for the APTA Legislative Conference. And as part of that conference, which was an excellent conference, it was great because it's basically myself and all of my counterparts that work on legislative matters. And we had a lot of speakers and really great topics. And it's always nice to see what other folks that do what you do, how they do it, and things that they're grappling with. So it was a great experience. We did have some meetings that we set up with our local federal delegations staff members. And so Pete and Cosette and I took those meetings. And we had the opportunity to kind of expand on the initial conversations that we were able to have with Merkley, Wyden, and Hoyle, especially, and kind of go into some more detail about some funding requests that we have out there and some projects that we're working on. And it was positive. And I just got a phone call today, and those are moving forward in the process. So that's good. Follow-up activities, just doing a few things. Continuing the conversations with their field reps that represent Merkley, Wyden, and Hoyle here locally, acquiring some grant letters for funding asks, and then also talking with them about things that we talked about when we were there, about having them come and visit us on site, some events that we can put together, ways that you all can engage with Senators Merkley, Wyden, and then Congresswoman Hoyle. I mean, I think, she's now on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. So that's a huge, that's the committee that Peter DeFazio was the chairman for. And she now serves in that committee and in that capacity. So it's nice that we have somebody on that committee locally. We'll be continuing those conversations as to ways that they can engage with LTD and all of you and the community around all of the things that we've got coming up. And then, of course, our partner engagement with United Front. We continue to meet pretty regularly with Jameson's going to be joining the Team Springfield crew. They meet every week. And then Springfield Eugene Leadership, CEL, they are meeting a couple times a month. And then we are just having ongoing meetings. I meet with my counterparts weekly in City of Springfield on some legislative stuff pretty regularly. So that's, we're just continuing all that work. And I think with that, if you guys have questions, I'm happy to answer or...
I think Pete does.
I think we're at.
not necessarily a question, yeah. Tiffany, by the way, just an excellent rundown of a whole lot of information.
Yes, I know. I apologize for that.
No, it's great. You did a fantastic job. I don't know if staff knows this, but I wrote a report on the APTA conference and some of the things that happened there. It was distributed to the board at least. I'm told it's going to be in the agenda packet under board reports for next board meeting in 2 weeks, and I'll expand on those things in that meeting. But it goes into more detail about the APTA conference itself and things like that. So just adding to what you've already said.
Awesome, that is great. I hadn't seen that, but I'm very pleased to hear that you're going to report out on that.
Yes, thank you very much.
It was great to have you there. So,
other questions or comments?
You're still awake.
I'd just like to say, Tiffany, you do a great job back there kind of maneuvering through all of the policies and the politics, because obviously that's part of it too. So I'm just curious about with Senator Merkley, and I know that he was expressing some concerns. Yeah. So if there's anything that we can do to support as you meet with him, please.
Yes, absolutely. And he expressed, and I'll just share with you all, he expressed interest in understanding our how it's going with our electric buses and, you know, just the realities of that. And I think that that's a really good conversation to have. And I think it's important for them to understand how it impacts us in a bigger way. And obviously, you know, you all know from the presentation that Matt shared, it's not a one for one thing. And so because those buses have a different range, it's technically kind of challenging to figure out how to make them work in our system. And so I think having that conversation with him and the folks that are making those big decisions about how to implement policies at the federal level. And there's a lot of, and both at the federal and the state level, there's a lot of conversation around this move to zero emission fleets. And we want to participate in that in a way that preserves our service for our community. And we've said this many times, but the biggest impact that transit has on our opportunity is actually getting people out of those single occupancy vehicles and into the buses. And that is it has a huge impact in it of itself. So I think that reminding folks of that is important.
Kelly, did you have a question or comment?
She has a comment in the chat.
No, I just put a comment in the chat. I just wanted to say thank you to Tiffany. I thought her report was excellent.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jameson?
She left out some key points.
Okay, please.
Tiffany moves like Spider-Man when she realized that she left her cell phone in the cab. Susan and I turned around and we didn't know if she was in the x-ray machine or what. And there was another piece. And she was, I think you may have been the only one that didn't lose the only handler who made it the whole time.
Yes, I didn't lose my elected or my, yes. Yeah. I didn't lose her.
And also it's really, you know, I don't see the work that Tiffany does day in and day out, but it was on full display on the trip for week one, and I'm sure on week two as well. So I want to thank her for the effort that was put into that. I was a little skeptical about how it all worked with collaborating on asks, and at some point the competition gets in there, but that didn't happen at all. And in fact, I realized it was the 38th trip. So all that had been probably worked out, 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's an effective process that is certainly unique. And I also want to thank Susan. Outside the meetings that Tiffany reported on, Susan set up several others that were completely outside of that, along with a national transit expert, David Kim. And we met with economic development, was it trade?
He's the deputy director of the business, small business.
Yeah, we met, had that meeting. And then she also met with the consulate as well. So yeah. Maximized that trip and really made some good connections, key connections that we'll take into the future. And we look forward to working with the legislative staff. So thank you both.
Yeah, thank you. All right, that's it for me. Unless you have any other questions.
Yeah.
I know, gosh.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Of course.
Anything else for the good of the order? If not, this meeting's adjourned.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.